This is Audible.
Mindfulness for the Mindless. A no-nonsense guide to breaking free from a mindless life. Written by John Burley. Narrated by Kevin E. Green. Introduction. Mindless. Adjective. Mindless. 1. Lack of consciousness or mind. 2. Not mindful. I live in a bright and colourful world full of interesting people, different cultures, amazing animals, and a wonderfully diverse nature. A world that makes every moment worth savouring and enjoying as much as possible. I awake each morning, not knowing what the world has to offer me today differently to yesterday. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, you live in a world very similar to mine. After I'd started actively practicing mindfulness, I noticed some immediate benefits. For example, strangers smiling at me in the street. My general outlook was a bit more positive, and I was more inclined to see my own and others' mistakes as opportunities to learn. My friends and family immediately noticed the difference and started to ask what had changed in my life to cause such a dramatic change. The quality and speed of my work improved almost overnight. Customers and people that I worked alongside also noticed a difference in my approach too. Once I'd explained it was down to me practicing mindfulness, they all wanted to try it and realize the same change as I'd had. While I could point them to my reading list on mindfulness, I quickly realized that there wasn't just one book that gave them enough information and guidance to start seeing the benefits as quickly as most of them would like. As with most people, before I'd started practicing mindfulness, I'd heard and seen many books in the shops about it. From the very little that I had heard about mindfulness in the media, and from what I'd heard from other people, it all sounded a bit wishy-washy and too woo-woo for me, and I knew I certainly didn't have time to sit around all day meditating. I had been told that it would help and I should give it a go several times, but I'd had no idea where to start, and it wasn't clear what I was going to gain from doing it anyway. There are what seem like thousands of books on mindfulness in the bookshops and online, all with their own takes and viewpoints on how to practice mindfulness and get various benefits from it. People who already practice mindfulness will suggest books to you and quote wonderful and sometimes truly inspiring sound bites from those books to make you think there is something great to be found in mindfulness. But they all suggest different books, and who has the time to read them all just to find the one book that explains mindfulness in a way that works just for you? What I did was listen to the people closest to me that had actually read books on mindfulness, instead of those who just quoted what they thought they knew from the media and social media posts. They were the people that lived in my world and would likely have a similar outlook to me, so in theory they would have been looking for similar benefits to me from mindfulness. This was my logic, but it still meant reading many books. When you start reading these books, there are some noticeable reoccurring problems that I found. Either the books were long and included everything possible about mindfulness, from the history of mindfulness to every possible benefit mindfulness could bring to you if you dedicated vast amounts of time to it. After reading some of these, you feel so overwhelmed with all the information that you're given that you become less mindful because you're now trying to think and digest it all. At the other end, you have short books and e-books that get straight to the point and tell you how to practice mindfulness and meditation techniques without explaining what you are trying to achieve with them. Some just talk in general terms without actually giving you useful instructions, and some leave you feeling like you've wasted a few hours that you'll never get back. I'm not saying that any of these books are bad. In fact, in almost every book that I have read, I have found something useful to take away, make me think or just a better explanation of something I'd read in another book. I would also say that, with the way, speed and focus that I read with, it is actually a good step towards being mindful in itself, as I shut out all the other chatter in my head so all this reading hasn't been all bad on a mindful front, probably. So, here is another book on mindfulness. The intention of this book is to provide a quick way to understand the principles of being mindful, so you can see some of the benefits as quickly as possible in your everyday life without having to give too much of your time to it initially. Mindfulness can help in many different areas, but my focus will be on just getting you started and helping you to see some close-to-instant improvements in your life. I will try to explain how to do it and what you can expect to gain by doing it in the shortest way, and yet still give you enough information so you understand how it works. I will combine all the best explanations and methods that I have found so far from all of my reading on mindfulness to save you having to trawl the bookshops. Like I explained earlier, once I'd actually bitten the bullet and given it a go, I got results almost overnight. Unlike many other books, I will not make you wade through chapters explaining the history and how to become some kind of mindfulness meditation master. This isn't what this book is about. Anyone can be mindful and feel the benefits to their general well-being. So you have no reason not to give this a go. It's completely free, and it certainly won't hurt you. This is my first attempt at writing a book, so please forgive any errors while I find my style. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this book, and I hope you start seeing your world and life in a new and wonderful way. Chapter 1. Mindfulness. Mindfulness, noun. Mindfulness. 1. State or quality of being mindful. 2. The practice of a non-judgmental state or awareness of one's feelings, emotions, thoughts, and experiences in the present. Mindfulness is just about deliberately paying attention to what is happening right now, the present moment, along with some curiosity, kindness, and an accepting mentality. Something to remember now you've started on your mindfulness journey is that if you become more mindful, you will likely have better general well-being and become happier. Not only that, as you become happier, the people around you and those you interact with will also see the benefits and will likely be a bit happier too, especially when around you. And we all know that, on the whole, human beings prefer to be around happy people over unhappy people. Mindfulness has been around for centuries and is found in ancient cultures from all parts of the world. Mindfulness translates from an ancient Buddhist term, sati, which means awareness of things and their relationship to other things, which provides an awareness of their value. How much value do you place on your time and experiences? Practicing mindfulness is about being in and experiencing the present moment, as this moment is the only time that is actually real. The past and the future only exist inside your head, in either your memory or your imagination. So the only moment we all truly have is this moment, right now. The present moment is the only time where you can live, make decisions, think, take actions, and live your life. Mindfulness is all about understanding this and spending less time inside your head and much more time experiencing the present moment itself, which will in turn lead to a calmer, kinder, and more fulfilled existence for yourself and others around you. More attentive. Being mindful is purely focusing and being attentive to what you are doing or experiencing right now. Life is happening continuously around us all the time, yet often we don't even notice because we aren't concentrating or paying attention to it. Yes, some of the present moments can be pretty boring, and it's easy to drift off into your own memory or imagination, but when you actually pay attention, even to the boring moments, there is often something there that you haven't noticed before that is interesting. It could be a sound, a smell, or something you haven't seen before. Even if, while you are paying attention, you don't notice anything new, you are mindfully not noticing anything new, because you are paying attention. The point is, you are here and experiencing real life in the present moment, even if it happens to be a boring moment just now. Studies have shown that drivers, on average, only take in 1 out of 5 road signs when driving on the roads. We all know what it's like to get to a destination and not be able to remember the journey we took in any real detail. This is especially the case for journeys that we make regularly, like the school run, or to and from work. This is because we aren't really paying attention. We have other things going on inside our minds. Think about how much of your life you're missing if you are missing that many road signs. Example. Just ask yourself, what am I paying attention to right now? This involves taking a step back mentally and observing your own mind in action. You can then watch as your attention moves to something else. You will also notice a mental commentary going on inside your head, too. Something like, I'm focusing on this book, and now I'm focusing on something I just heard and wondering what the hell it was. You are observing and paying attention to your own thoughts, as well as paying attention to something else. Cool, don't you think? This means you are self-aware. You can take this a step further and start turning your attention to why your mind's attention is on that sound you heard, instead of fully attentive to the words in this recording. Once you start to pay attention, you'll notice there is a lot more going on in your present life than you first realized. And while you were paying attention to my little example, your brain had a little rest from the usual background self-talk, too. More present. If you imagine that every moment equates to a second in time, how many do you have left in total? A lot, I hope, but it's about 7 or 8 less than when you started listening to this paragraph already. See how quickly they are disappearing. How many are you missing the full experience of because your mind is consumed with something that happened this morning or might happen later today? How many have you not fully appreciated so far in your life? Isn't it about time you started being just a bit more present in these moments and enjoyed what life has to offer just a little bit more? Before you panic that time is running out for you, there are well over 31 million seconds each year, so you have some time to get your head around all this, but they are still ticking away as you listen. What you are doing now by trying to understand how to be more mindful will help you realize how to appreciate more of the present moments, seconds, so you'll actually gain some that you would have missed previously, in the future, if you hadn't turned to mindfulness. It doesn't matter what is actually happening right now in the present moment. It is what it is, as they say. Your experience is yours, totally valid and correct exactly as it is. It's just the way things are in this moment. But at least you actually know how they are right now because you're being present. Example. Just stop listening at the end of this paragraph for 10 seconds and close your eyes. What sounds can you hear? Don't label them, just notice the sound itself and any others that you can hear. Don't think to yourself, that's an aeroplane overhead. Someone cutting their grass down the street, because you are now recalling things from memory which isn't part of being present. Notice any new sounds as they arrive at your ears, or any that stop. Go on, give it a go for 10 seconds. There you go. Give yourself a pat on the back. You are just in the present for 10 seconds. I know it's hard not to give the sounds a label, but even if you did label them, you are still more present and more mindful than you would have been for the 10 seconds prior. React less. A reaction is something you do automatically when you experience something, usually due to past conditioning. When you react, you are usually at a disadvantage, as you have less or no control due to your lack of a considered response. Reactions tend to be emotionally driven, sporadic, and often do not help any situation improve. Mindfully responding can have the opposite effect, though. We all know when someone is reacting to the emotion of a situation and not considering their responses. It is not uncommon for people on the other side of a disagreement to use the fact that you only react to their advantage. When you only react, you can hand control of yourself to another person without realizing. The alternative is to mindfully respond instead of just blindly reacting without any thought. The urge to react is always there in many of us, but if you are mindful of the present, you can catch the reaction, think, and then only respond if a response is needed. Even if you don't catch the reaction initially, you will at least notice that you are reacting, and quickly bring yourself back under control so you can respond more appropriately. Mindfully responding may be more passive, as it takes a bit more time to think and then come back with a more considered response, but it will lose you less friends in the long run. Remember, now that you're experiencing the present more, why not make it a happier, more enjoyable, and less volatile present without thoughtless reactions? Judge less. We all have the temptation to judge any experience as either good or bad, because we all like feeling happiness, and none of us like feeling sadness. Often your judgments are more based upon past experiences and less on what you are actually experiencing in this moment. Judging holds us back, and if we can judge less, we can experience a richer, more meaningful and fulfilled life based around your true self. It is possible to reduce and let go of judgments, regardless of how repetitive or ingrained they are, by using your new mindfulness skills. Your judgments are simply just thoughts in your mind, and the choice is yours as to how much value and credibility you give these thoughts. When you pay attention to your thoughts, emotions, feelings, and actions, you can identify the unhelpful thoughts and question whether they are true and valid for what is actually happening in the present. It's not just about how we judge others. How we judge ourselves is far more important. Research has shown that our minds are telling ourselves stories continuously. These stories are about who we are, where we are going, what our relationship is to whoever we are with, etc. Albeit not necessarily true, these stories are fine while they are all positive. But what about when they become negative? What if we're telling ourselves we are not good enough? We don't deserve something that makes you happy or successful? Most of us have our own self-doubts, but when they start to accumulate, they start affecting our self-esteem and sense of worth. It's very easy to incorrectly judge a situation and then make further judgments on the first incorrect assumption, and so on. Before you know it, you have spiraled miles away from the reality of the present, basing incorrect assumption upon incorrect assumption. If you find you are doubting yourself or having some negative thoughts, just simply start to pay attention. Paying attention to these thoughts will stop the internal storytelling automatically. Then ask yourself, which of the thoughts I've just had do I know to be actually true? Think like you are giving evidence in a court and under oath. You wouldn't speculate and only say what you know for sure is true, unless you can say 100% that what you have been thinking is true, you will discard it automatically. Once you have done this, smile to yourself, as you have just taken back control of your own thoughts, stopped a potential self-judgment or negative thought pattern spiraling out of control, and replaced it with a positive judgment of yourself. As you are now in control of your thoughts, you are definitely here in this moment. Obviously, you can apply the same logic to thoughts and judgments you are having about other people too, as they all take place inside your mind. More compassion. True compassion isn't based upon attachments or desires. To show compassion is to understand and recognize that you have your own limitations and flaws, as does everyone else, and to forgive yourself and others for their mistakes, negative thoughts, and fears. We are all generally the same underneath, with the same hopes and desires of being happy without any suffering. Understanding that if you peel away our exteriors, we are all essentially the same underneath, with the same desires and needs. Remembering this will help you to be more compassionate to others. Be more compassionate to yourself. Feelings of anger, resentment, and hatred will not make you happier. Even if you believe you are in the right, does getting angry or upset to act on an injustice serve your aim to be happier further? In fact, getting angry or upset will likely cause more upset in others, which could lead to more unhappy feelings for yourself later, for example, guilt, shame, regret, etc. This will push you further away from your aim and desire to be happier. Pay attention to yourself and your thoughts, and take some time to understand what is driving the feelings of anger. They may not be based in truth, or what you are actually experiencing now, you may not have all the information, and are leaping to judge. No response may be needed at all. Instead, more observation or information may be required. Alternatively, if you feel the feeling of anger is justified, wait for the initial emotional reaction to pass, or check it as soon as you realize that you are reacting. You can act as if you are angry later, once the real anger has subsided. This will be less destructive to your aims of more happiness, and being more compassionate to yourself and others. Example. Stop listening for a couple of minutes. Think about the last time you felt angry and reacted towards somebody else. Do you honestly believe that they set out to make you feel angry and to be on the receiving end of your emotional reactions? Did being angry make you feel any happier in that moment? Did they feel happier at that moment? Did you have to apologize afterwards for your reaction? If you did apologize, did doing that make you feel happier? Did you feel guilt, regret, and or sadness? You can see where this is leading with all these unhappy feelings. Be happier. Think before you react. We are often more critical of ourselves than we are of our enemies. A good rule of thumb when it comes to our own internal self-critique is to be no more critical of ourselves than we would be of a stranger or a friend. It is not uncommon for compassion to be viewed as weak. However, practicing compassion can be a lot tougher than just reacting to a situation. It takes more self-control and strength to be patient, listen, and respond from a place of self-awareness with compassion and understanding. Enemies and annoying people are a great opportunity to practice and improve your compassionate side. Remember and understand that they have desires and hopes for being happier just as you, but may not be going about finding it in the right way. They may be upsetting many other people while they try to find the right path to happiness. So wish them well on finding their correct path, because people can change exactly as you are trying to do now, with mindfulness. Exercising compassion can be one of the most fulfilling parts of being mindful, as you are adding to more positivity in the world and making it a happier and more peaceful place for us all to live. Your relationships with others will improve, and your relationship with yourself will, too. That feels pretty good. More kindness. One of the most important attitudes to bring to your mindfulness is kindness. You can be more attentive, present, and compassionate, but the experience of it can be cold and hard. Or you can apply some kindness to it to make it a more warm, caring, and gentle experience. By adding kindness to your experiences, you can make any moment, whether it's positive, negative, or neutral, just a little bit better. Example. So, you're now wondering what all this actually means, and how you can do it. Try stopping listening to this book for a couple of minutes, and keep your focus on just one thing that you can see. Pay attention to it, and bring a sense of affection to the way you are looking at it, in the same way that you would look into a small child's eyes. You could try this next time that you eat. In fact, try it each time you eat. When the food arrives, and before you dive in, just take a few moments to notice the smell of the food, in the same way you would notice your favourite perfume or aftershave. As you take each bite and chew, notice and savour the different tastes in your mouth, and remember how lucky you are to have food that can be enjoyed. Make sure you have chewed and savoured everything in your mouth before you have your next helping. Or, as you walk around as part of your day and notice other people, in your head wish them some kindness. Think to yourself, I hope you can be happy, and try to make it come from the heart. Or try listening to your own negative thoughts with a sense of kindness. Just listen to those thoughts like you would if you were listening to a close friend with some understanding and compassion. You have unlimited kindness within you, so give it away, either to others or to yourself, preferably both. You will notice an effect, too. The kinder you are and feel, the more people will be kind to you, too. Try it and see for yourself. More gratitude. As one of the greatest of all emotions, gratitude can be cultivated easily, and studies are starting to show that gratitude improves well-being. Your heart will open when you are aware and grateful for what you do have, instead of what you don't. When you are aware, grateful, and open-hearted, you are more mindful. Being grateful for what you have involves positive emotions. Unsurprisingly, experiencing more positive emotions through showing more gratitude will improve your general well-being and overall positivity. Recent studies are also showing that you do not need to express your gratitude to anyone, you just have to feel grateful. Feeling and being grateful for all the things and people that you have in your life, and for what they bring to it, will tend to shift your focus away from negative thoughts and feelings, and instead towards more positive thinking. Once you start being more grateful and start noticing the benefits, it becomes like a snowball, as you quickly find you are more grateful for anything and everything in your life. Being more grateful and the positive effects it brings will also help increase your compassion and kindness. If you share your gratitude with the person you are grateful to, then the benefit is twofold. You feel the positive effects of being grateful, and who doesn't like being told that someone else is grateful for what they've done? A great way to do this is using a gratitude letter. What are you waiting for? Show your gratitude to everyone. Chapter 2. Benefits. No matter how much you stress or obsess about the past or future, you can't change either one. In the present is where the power lies. Buddha. To realize the benefits of mindfulness, it is important that you turn your mindfulness activities into habits. Habits are easy to do and hard to break, because you have created strong neural pathways for them. The more you perform and repeat your mindfulness actions, the easier they become as they become habits. Repeated studies show that regular practice of mindfulness actually rewires the brain and has been shown to increase levels of serotonin, which is vital to happiness. Regular mindfulness practice also reduces levels of the stress-related hormone cortisol, which contributes to anxiety, depression, memory loss, and sleep disorders. You can also think of each session of mindfulness meditation effectively as a dose. The more you practice, the better the cumulative effects usually are. You can also top up your dosage throughout the day by becoming more aware of the present while you're performing mundane daily acts, like brushing your teeth, doing the dishes, walking the dog, etc. Calming. Imagine your mind is like an ocean. Sometimes it's a rough, stormy time, and at others the ocean is flat and calm. It doesn't matter what you are doing. Thoughts pass through your mind, and the weather at the ocean's surface changes reflecting your current thoughts. Practicing mindfulness allows you to take a step back and raise yourself out of the water, so you are not affected by whatever the weather conditions are like on the surface of the ocean. From this raised position, you can just observe the changes in the ocean surface, rather than be controlled by the weather, or actually your own thoughts. As part of improving your mindfulness skills, it is important to remember to focus on being aware of the present using at least one of your senses, sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. Also, make sure you change which sense you use, so that you build up the skills and habits with all your senses. Just by maintaining your focus on one of your senses and what it is sensing in the present has a calming effect on your brain. Also remember that if your mind does wander, it's okay. Be kind to yourself. Just bring your attention back to your sensing again with the same sense as before. Gradually, you'll be able to maintain the focus for longer and receive the calming effect for longer too. Reduced stress. As mindfulness improves emotional regulation, the symptoms of stress can also be alleviated. This in turn leads to a general better mood that also helps combat stressful situations and periods in your life. Many studies from hundreds of universities are showing that mindfulness not only reduces stress, it also helps prepare you so you can cope better during stressful times in your life, helping you to remain happier. As mindfulness makes you more aware of your thoughts, you are less likely to take them as literally. Being mindful helps you control your reactions, which helps reduce the stress that these can trigger too. Part of becoming mindful is an increase in emotional intelligence. This will help you better understand other people's emotions and feelings, which in turn should reduce conflicts with others and the negative effects on well-being that this produces. Being mindful also includes showing yourself and others compassion, which will mean you will be less critical and judgmental generally. This will reduce your reactions to situations and the stress that potentially comes with them. Mindfulness also offers you a way to focus on stressful and depressive thoughts in a different way, enabling you to observe them instead of just feeling them. With a greater understanding of how your own thought patterns are affecting your general state of mind, comes an improved well-being, thus an improved state of mind. Reduced depressive symptoms. While being mindful and more attentive, you are more aware of your body as well as your mind. This helps to detect symptoms that are causes and/or contributing factors of depression a lot sooner, so they can be treated or addressed earlier, reducing their depressive effects. Simply being mindful reduces activity in the part of the brain called the amygdala. The amygdala is responsible for producing your stress responses, so being mindful effectively reduces your background stress responses. Reduced workplace stress. Studies are now starting to show that mindfulness stress reduction training in the workplace is having many positive effects. Participants have reported lower perception of stress, improved emotional and physical health, better sleep, and improved self-compassion. Participants are also showing reduced levels of the stress-related hormone cortisol in their blood. They have also shown reduced systolic and diastolic blood pressure, indicating that they felt less stressed physically and mentally. This is an area of mindfulness study that is likely to explode over the next few years, as businesses start to realize that they can potentially help their employees improve their quality of life overall, as well as their productivity at work. Better decisions. You are making decisions all day, every day, whether they are conscious decisions or unconscious decisions. Even deciding to make no decision is a decision. To make a decision, especially a good quality decision, you need to be in the right frame of mind. If you are worrying, feeling anxious, stressed, or experiencing any other strong emotions or feelings, you will not be able to think clearly. This is concerning if you have to make a life-changing decision, like getting married, whether to buy a new home, or change to a new job. By practicing mindfulness, you learn to become more aware, attentive, and listen to your senses more, which will help your decision-making. Also, apart from providing better clarity to your conscious decision-making, you will start to notice that your subconscious contributes to how you make decisions too, through your gut or intuition. More attention. Almost everything we do requires a level of focus and attention of some kind, from reading, writing, driving, or even just watching the TV. In an age of the internet, constantly pinging mobile phones and the multitasking lives we live now, it seems to be coming at the expense of our attention spans. One of the main elements of mindfulness meditation is the ability to detect when your mind has wandered off, along with the ability to bring it back to the focus of the meditation. As you develop this skill through practicing more mindfulness and meditation, you will notice improvements in your ability to focus on anything that you are doing, saving you time and improving your sense of achievement when tasks are completed sooner. Mindfulness intention is to get your mind to focus only on what is happening in the present, thus training your brain to focus. As part of mindfulness, you accept that your mind will wander off and lose attention from time to time. It also helps train your mind how to quickly refocus, too. So, by practicing mindfulness meditations regularly, you will gain better abilities to maintain focus and be more attentive to the task at hand. Better general health. A few minutes of mindful meditation a day can help with your general health and well-being. There is a quickly growing body of evidence that shows several measurable benefits of meditation, including higher brain functioning, increased immune function, lowered blood pressure and lowered heart rate. Regular meditation also demonstrates many psychological changes too, including increased awareness, increased attention and focus, increased clarity in thoughts and perception, lower anxiety levels, an internal experience of calmness, balance, and feeling connected. Enhanced ability to deal with illness. As with many chronic illnesses, pain management is a big factor that affects the sufferer's well-being. Millions of people are living with these types of illnesses all the time, along with all the associated pain. While traditional pain relief usually involves medication, it usually only treats the physical pain and does not try to help with the emotional pain. Suffering with emotional pain will almost definitely have an effect on your well-being. Most people would rather try to forget about their pain, but this creates a state of resistance, which itself is stressful. Mindfulness meditation can help create a state of a relative calm, balance, and a content state, even while in physical pain. Cancer patients and others suffering with other chronic and sometimes terminal conditions are becoming a big focus of studies, and in particular in how mindfulness can help with living with the condition. While mindfulness cannot take away the symptoms of the condition itself, it can help make living with them more manageable. It is starting to show in studies too that caregivers benefit from mindfulness when it comes to the stress and burdens of looking after a loved one. Better recovery. Not only can mindfulness help you deal with and live with the symptoms of a serious illness, but it can also help with the recovery too. As mindfulness can improve your general health and reduce stress, it can assist in the recovery of many conditions and illnesses, as you are just generally healthier and less stressed. Some studies into breast cancer survivors have shown that practicing mindfulness, meditation, and yoga has enhanced post-traumatic growth, the ability to appreciate life, find meaning and purpose, and see new possibilities from their experience, along with reduced anxiety and stress. Slower aging. Several studies are now showing that practicing mindfulness meditations can have an effect of potentially adding years to the lifespan of the body and improving brain function further into old age. Mindfulness helps with reducing stress, and studies are showing that people that suffer with environmental stress and perceived stress may induce premature aging. A growing but currently small body of research is showing that the brain's degeneration over time may be reduced as meditation helps alter our brain's structure and function. The key seems to be continued meditation over time, and studies are now trying to work out exactly how much meditation is required. If you consider just a couple of generations ago that the benefits of physical fitness on health, well-being and lifespan was not generally well known, and now many people ensure they play sport and attend gyms on a regular basis for the long-term benefits, it seems we are on the edge of realizing that mental fitness and regular brain workouts are just as important too. Reduced pain. Millions of people live with chronic pain from diseases and injuries. It can not only be a physical strain, but it's an emotional strain too. While traditional medication can alleviate the physical pain, it can also increase the emotional pain along with other potential side effects too. More studies are starting to show that by creating new structures and functional changes in the brain, mindfulness can help alleviate pain. Many health providers across the world are now seriously considering and already prescribing mindfulness as an alternative or supplement to traditional drug-related treatments for chronic pain. The benefits are most notable in people that have practiced mindfulness meditations for over 8 weeks, generally. Using awareness, kindness, curiosity, and acceptance, you can bring attention to the pain instead of doing what comes naturally, which is to avoid the pain. Once you are focused on the pain itself, you can learn how to differentiate between the physical pain and the psychological pain. Once identified, you use mindfulness to let go of the psychological pain, leaving only the physical pain. Better emotional understanding. It is impossible to be truly happy, manage or understand happiness without a good foundation of emotional intelligence. Mindfulness requires that you are mindful of your emotions and therefore emotionally aware. With mindfulness, you will improve your emotional intelligence, which will help you further appreciate your own happiness along with all other emotions you experience. We are all born with different emotional intelligence levels, similar to intellectual intelligence. As with intellectual intelligence, emotional intelligence can be nurtured, cultivated, and improved, most notably through practicing more mindfulness. A highly emotional aware individual has learned to accept who they are and that everyone handles emotions differently and are unique. You physically experience emotions, and they partly exist as part of your survival instinct. Anxiety usually manifests itself as a tingling in your stomach, while anger will usually manifest as an increase in breathing and heart rate. Your emotions are continuously changing all the time as your experience of the present changes and emotions generally don't last very long. Emotions happen to you naturally, and you can use your mindfulness skills to observe which emotions you are experiencing at any given moment. Generally, emotions are perceived as unpleasant, pleasant, and neutral, and they will likely induce negative or positive feelings in your mind. Mindfulness allows you to observe and accept the emotion you are experiencing without avoiding or reacting to the feelings it induces. Emotional intelligence is a large and interesting subject, and certainly worth further investigation once you get deeper into mindfulness. Better understanding of thoughts. It is important that you do not underestimate the power that your thoughts have. It is now being stated by many that the power of thought is all-powerful. Look around you right now. Almost everything you can see started off initially as a thought in somebody's mind. Obviously, this does not include nature, but even landscapes are modified by man, and therefore start off as a thought in somebody's mind. These are thoughts that someone or some people persisted with to produce the clothes that you're wearing, the sofa you're sitting on, and the building you're sitting in, for example. If these people hadn't acted on their initial thoughts that they'd had, that sofa or building may not exist now, or it would, but in a different form, because it started from a different thought, in maybe a different mind. Everything you do starts with a thought, From the words you speak, through the actions you perform, and even feelings can be triggered by thoughts. Thoughts are also habit-forming. Each time you have a new thought, good or bad, a new neural pathway is created in your brain. It is easier for thoughts to take an existing neural pathway than to create a new one, so you are more likely to have the same thought again, which then reinforces the neural pathway and increases the chances of having the thought once more, and so on. Being mindful is key to stopping negative thought patterns becoming habitual in your mind and helps create new neural pathways for hopefully more positive thought patterns. By being mindful, you learn to watch your thoughts, emotions, feelings, and actions. This way, when you detect negative, untruthful, or unhelpful thoughts passing through your mind, you can question their validity with kindness and self-compassion. This process alone seems to be enough for your mind to discard them instantly. Just ask yourself, which of the thoughts I've just been having do I know for sure are actually true? You won't find many, as most will be assumptions, judgments, imaginary scenarios, and more assumptions based upon earlier assumptions. Good versus bad thoughts. As mentioned earlier, it does not matter where you are from in the world, we all have this same drive to be happier in our lives. It is curious, though, that our mind often seems to try to steer us in the opposite direction. We give more value to negative and bad thoughts than we do to positive and good thoughts and feelings. Generally, a good feeling or thought is a subconscious way of you telling yourself that you like something or it makes you happy. The opposite to this is a bad or negative thought or feeling, which is your subconscious telling you that you don't like something or it makes you unhappy. If you are going to move in the direction of a happier life, then surely you should be listening to these thoughts and feelings as an indicator of direction of travel, which is what most of us do without really realizing what's happening. Here is the problem. When you have a bad or negative thought, you often tend to ruminate upon it, and as part of that process produce more negative thoughts, and consequently more negative feelings. This gives far more value to the original negative thought than it should have had. Whereas, when you have a positive, good thought or feeling, you don't tend to spend so much time worrying about it as you would a bad thought, if at all. Someone may pay us several compliments that typically we tend to brush off with a hint of embarrassment without too much thought of it again. Yet when the same person makes an observation of us that is negative, we don't forget it. We go over it in our minds and may even end up holding it against them for a while. So now bad thoughts and feelings are given much more weight than good or positive ones. Your instinct is to move further away from whatever is producing the bad or negative feelings and thoughts and closer towards whatever is producing the good ones. What if a situation, person, or decision generates both of these types of thoughts and feelings at times, which is completely normal? Your negative thoughts and feelings tend to be given more weight, so as a result, your mind could be tricking you into moving away from something that makes you happier, and in turn making you unhappier. We all want to be happier, but our mind doesn't always serve as a good judge of whether we are heading in the right direction if left to itself. As you become more mindful, you will be able to better identify these negative thought patterns and the effects they are having on your life judgments, and better choose the correct direction of travel for you to be happier. You will also learn to be more grateful for what you do have, reinforce and give more weight to the good thoughts and feelings more. You will also be more compassionate, which will help you understand that the negative or bad thought you are having may not be justified or not based on fact before you start giving it so much weight. After all, that's what we all want, more of these good and positive feelings and thoughts in our minds to make us feel happier. So, always follow the good feelings and give less value to the bad feelings, and you will become happier automatically. Chapter 3. Preparation. Train your mind to see the good in everything. Positivity is a choice. The happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts. Mark and Angel. Setting your intention. Intention, noun, intention. 1. What one intends to bring about or do. 2. Act in a way with a determination. You will not fully realize the benefits of mindfulness if your intention is not good enough or too vague. It is important not to confuse your intention with a goal or a target. A goal is what you seek to achieve, whereas an intention is more the purpose and reason for doing it, along with the attitude that you bring to it. Your intention should come from the heart, and not be goal or target orientated. For example, a goal would be something like, I'm being more mindful to lose an amount of weight. Whereas an intention could be something like, I'm being more mindful to help myself be more compassionate, or I'm being more mindful to become stronger emotionally. Your intention is very important, as it is the first step towards becoming and manifesting what it is you want to achieve. Without intention, there is no direction or purpose, so setting the correct intention couldn't be more important and will help you focus your mind, heart, and soul into bringing it about. Finding your intention. Getting your head around setting your intention isn't always easy when you start thinking about it. There are so many intentions you could choose, and probably more than one appeals initially. When choosing what your intention is going to be, make sure it is aligned with your general perspective on life and thoughts about who you are and who you want to be. Be realistic, and don't set an intention that is impossible for you to achieve. How you phrase your intention is almost as important as the actual intention itself. It should always be positive, and not include any negative words. It can be a phrase or just a single word. For example, it could be compassion, love, peace, or freedom. And it should not be something like, have less fear, because less and fear are not positive. Some common intentions used by others are health, peace, love, balance, courage, more compassion, connect with others, feel steady and calm, and open mind. Some questions you can ask yourself to help identify what your intention could be. What matters most to me right now? What would I like to let go of? What makes me most proud? Who would I like to forgive in my life? What am I grateful for in my life? Which word would I most like to align myself with? Why do I want to be more mindful? What do I want in my life and in the future? You should always say to yourself, either in your head or out loud, what your intention is before you meditate or actively practice mindfulness. The key is to restate your intention whenever you can, especially when you feel you need it. For example, when you are stressed, doubting yourself, etc. It will help you become grounded again and remind you what your focus should be. Set your vision. Your vision is not a goal or an intention. Your vision is where you see yourself after a while of being on your mindful journey. You can, of course, revise your vision after a while of practicing mindfulness, and you will likely adjust your vision as you realize, understand, and experience the benefits of mindfulness yourself. However, once you have understood how mindfulness benefits you better, you should not change your vision too often, as you will lose focus. When you have a consistent vision of where you are going with all your mindfulness efforts, it will be easier to notice what you achieve as you get closer to your vision. Don't change or evolve your vision much once set, otherwise you will never be able to measure how you are doing in getting closer to achieving it. Obviously, as we've seen in previous chapters, mindfulness is primarily about being in the present as much as possible. So giving yourself a vision of the future is a little counterintuitive to what we already know about mindfulness. But by having a vision of where your mindfulness journey will lead you, it helps motivate you to keep going and ensure you stay on the correct path and direction towards your vision. You may find it easier to set a vision after you have been doing mindfulness for a while, and better understand what it has to offer. A good trick, once you know what your vision is to write it out on a piece of paper and pin it somewhere, where you'll see it often, and be reminded of what it is. Your vision could be of a period a long way in the future, or it could be something closer. Who do you see yourself as, in 10 years' time, for example? Who are you doing this for? Ultimately, you should be practicing mindfulness for yourself. However, as you start to notice the differences that mindfulness brings in yourself, so will the others around you. So it's not a bad idea to consider who in your life will see the benefits that mindfulness will bring for you. It might help setting your intention and vision, too. Consider who is in your life and how they would also benefit when you start to realize the benefits of mindfulness. The more mindfulness you practice, the more likely you will be more kind, compassionate, and attentive to others. You will likely be less irritable and more approachable. Just some people who will likely benefit from you being more mindful are family, partner or spouse, friends, people you work with, neighbors. As mentioned earlier, though, you must be setting off on your mindfulness journey purely for yourself and for the benefits it will bring for you alone. The benefits and the better relationships you will likely have with others as a result should be considered a very welcome bonus. It's time to put yourself first, but being aware that others will likely receive some benefit will help you feel less selfish. Be committed. When you start off on this new journey into practicing mindfulness, one of your biggest questions is probably going to be about how committed you will need to be and how much time you'll need to put aside for it. In short, the more you put in, the more you will get out. Becoming more mindful and realizing all the benefits that it can bring to your life will ultimately require you to change the way that you think and see the world you live in. This cannot be achieved overnight, and will take as long as it takes. The more you do, the quicker it will happen, but you need to remember that your mind has had all these years to build up its current habits and ways of thinking that will be changing to a more mindful attitude and outlook. It takes time to undo and replace your current way of thinking, but the biggest key to becoming more mindful is regular and consistent commitment to mindfulness. So you should be ready to put aside some time each day for mindfulness. How much time that is and when it is entirely up to you, and can range from a couple of minutes to half an hour a day or maybe even more. As mentioned earlier, the more you do, the bigger and quicker the benefits. Each day you will gradually start to change and notice that the way you think and experience your world is changing slightly. With each day there is more change as your new habits start to form. You should be prepared to commit 8 weeks to fully notice the change, but you'll likely notice changes in yourself and how other people interact with you very quickly. Spread the word. When you start on your new mindfulness journey, it may help to keep you motivated by telling those who are close to you, like family and loved ones, what you are doing. However, it is probably better that you do not tell them of the changes they are likely to see in you, so you do not build up expectations, and so they and you are pleasantly surprised. Once you start noticing the differences in yourself and your well-being, you may also feel compelled to share this newfound wisdom you have with your friends, family, and colleagues, and wax on about how it could improve their lives as much as it has yours. This is not uncommon, and many of us have these urges to spread the word of mindfulness and the benefits it could bring to the many of the people we care about. However, we've all been on the receiving end of a friend's lecture about how wonderful their latest fad is and how much better we would be too if we got involved as well. Although it comes from a caring place, it's often done in a way that's overzealous and in a pushy manner, and often feels more like a criticism of how we are living our lives already. So here is another opportunity to be more mindful and show some kindness, compassion, and less judgment. Probably the best way to handle these situations is to wait until someone asks what has prompted the difference they've noticed in you. Close friends, family, and work colleagues are all likely to pick up your new outlook and demeanour, and question you about how it's come about.